Good Monday morning. I'm Anna Palmer, and welcome to your Politico Playbook audio briefing, sponsored by Pharma.
And I'm Jake Sherman. Not exactly our wheelhouse, but there's big news at Buckingham Palace this morning. Prince Harry and Meghan Markle are engaged. The wedding will be in the spring of 2018. And now back to Washington. All eyes are on tax reform. Smart people who work on this issue tell us that if the Senate could get its bill through this week, there's a good chance Congress could get legislation to President Donald Trump's desk by the end of the year. Everything would need to fall into place, but it's possible. If the Senate takes more than just this week to get it done, it will likely slip into 2018.
A quick reminder. There are 11 days until the government runs out of funding, 12 legislative days until the end of the year, and 34 days until the end of 2017. Here's where things stand. Sungmin Kim and Bernie Becker boil it down, writing that it is do or die time for Senate Republicans on tax reform. At least half a dozen senators are still showing varying levels of concern about the legislation.
White House and Republican leadership staffers have been pushing a Wall Street Journal op-ed about how tax reform will lift the economy. The letter is signed by several GOP economic thinkers, including George Shultz. Here's why it matters. The White House and Republican leaders are hoping senators that are skeptical of the tax overhaul bill will be won over by the party's thinkers on economic issues. Here's who to watch in this issue: Jeff Flake, Bob Corker, and Ron Johnson. They've all had concerns about the deficits that this bill might run up.
But nothing is simple. The Washington Post has a piece up that a CBO report found that the Senate Republican tax package hurt the poor more than originally believed. The CBO also found that the bill would add $1.4 trillion to the deficit over the next 10 years, which could be an issue for senators worried about the growing debt. Meanwhile, Eliana Johnson, Andrew Restuccia, and Ben White take a look at how aides in the White House and on Capitol Hill are unsure what policy initiative will follow tax reform. They write, "The looming vacuum in the Republican agenda underscores how the relative chaos and disorganization of the Trump White House can affect policymaking across Washington."
Kyle Cheney and Heather Cagle report inside the Democratic caucus about how accusations of sexual harassment by John Conyers is complicating life for Nancy Pelosi. She didn't want to be seen as forcing him out of his coveted Judiciary Committee position. CBC Chairman Cedric Richmond and Assistant Democratic Leader Jim Clyburn reached out over the Thanksgiving recess to members to take their temperature about how they felt about the Clyburn accusations. Conyers announced that he would step aside as ranking member of the Judiciary Committee while the Ethics Committee investigates.
The Star Tribune reports on Minnesota Senator Al Franken doing an interview where he said he is embarrassed, ashamed, and ready to go back to work. While Franken's 2020 star has dimmed, Senator Bernie Sanders is making moves, pointing to a run our colleague Gabe DiBenedetti reports. Sanders has been forging closer relationships with the labor movement and shoring up his foreign policy credentials.
The fight over who will lead the CFPB is heading to the courts. The agency's general counsel wrote that it is her opinion Trump has the authority to designate an acting director. But Leandra English, who Richard Cordray tapped to serve as acting director, is suing the Trump administration to establish her right as director.
Trump will have lunch with Vice President Mike Pence and Senate Finance Committee members. He is hosting an event honoring Native American code talkers, and will also meet in the afternoon with Defense Secretary James Mattis. In the juice, we've got James Shultz leaving the White House counsel's office, where he worked on ethics issues, to return to the Philadelphia-based law firm Cozen O'Connor.
A fun spotted at Mar-a-Lago, Trump and First Lady Melania Trump were seated at the main dining table with Marvel Entertainment Chairman Ike Perlmutter and his wife Lori, according to our tipster. Trump and former CIA Director James Woolsey had a lengthy conversation at his table. Other nearby diners included Eric and Laura Trump, Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross and his wife Hillary, Jack and Barbara Nicholas with Brett and Amy Baer. A reminder to join us for a Playbook interview Wednesday morning at 8 a.m. with Senator Marco Rubio at the Liaison Hotel on Capitol Hill. Subscribe to Playbook at politico.com/playbook.